You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, when discussing video games, most news coverage highlight only the negative side effects of gaming, such as increased depression, aggression, and addiction. Yes, for those people who like things like FIFA World Cup, those people can stay there the whole day, you know, playing FIFA World Cup. So yeah, we know that addiction. However, positive outcomes from gaming do exist, including increased reasoning, collaboration, and multicultural communities. I didn't know that. Presumably, all these benefits could contribute positively to social problem solving. I think that's an interesting statement and an interesting way to open up this particular tech at Tuesday. And we're talking about video games as a solution to world problems. And we've got Begani Khumalo on the line. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm well.
Fantastic. Can you please confirm for me and for our listeners, I don't want to say it myself, but where are you currently?
I'm in London.
You're in London. What's the time there?
It's just an hour behind you. It's 10 past 6.
10 past 6, just an hour behind us. Yeah, interesting. I didn't want to, jinx it there. Thank you so much for taking the time, my brother. Really appreciate it. Ukhumalo Mtungwa.
Yeah,
bro. Oh, fantastic. Okay. Before we go anywhere, particularly we delve into this issue of gaming as a solution, would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about yourselves and perhaps where you come from? But before you do that, I know that it's often easy, when you say it yourself, but I do want to mention that Begani is a seasoned professional in the tech industry with a unique blend of experience in civil engineering, geographic information systems, and software engineering. A senior software engineer by profession, he has a deep understanding of the intersection between technology and the society. Now, beyond his professional pursuits, he is a passionate tech enthusiast and a gamer, always keeping his finger on the pulse of the latest trends in the gaming industry. He believes in the potential of video games to not only entertain, but also educate, inspire, and foster community. Now, that is a mouthful. How do you introduce yourself?
I don't know what to say after that.
So when people say, Upegani Ubani, where do you start? I mean, I'm sure it's a difficult one.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, I guess on topic for this, it's I've been someone who's a tech enthusiast for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I've been gaming since I was a child. And you know how it is. We started with the small TV games, Atari, playing Super Mario and things like that, all the way up. And I guess on topic as well, you know, growing up, parents would want to stop us from gaming too much and all of that, because there was this widespread belief that there's something wrong with these video games and you don't want to expose kids too much.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. And where did you grow up?
In Zimbabwe.
In Zimbabwe. And specifically where?
In Bulawayo.
In Bulawayo.
So I was in Zimbabwe until I was, I think, around 26, thereabout. And then I moved to South Africa for about 5 years before moving to London.
And how is London? I'm sure you're loving it.
It's all right. The weather is horrible. But well, right now it's summer, so it's much better.
The weather is horrible. Oh, but interesting. All right. Yeah, and I think if you're from the warmer parts of Africa, I'm sure that side is just terrible, terrible.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a huge contrast.
I'm sure it is. We appreciate your time. And I think this topic is very interesting and very important for us. And I want to start here that sometimes I think it sounds like video games, from what you're saying, is more than just a meaningless pastime thing that one does these days. And so my first question then is, what is the potential that we are looking at here in terms of gaming as a solution to world problems?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a start, it's very important for us to widen our perspective when we talk about video games.
Yeah.
Because when most people talk about video games, their perception is limited, you know, to the traditional idea of console and PC games,
yes.
you know, often associated with like action, adventure, and fantasy genres. And this narrow view can limit the understanding of the wide-ranging benefits of video game that video games can offer. But if we widen the perspective to encompass a full spectrum of video games, then we begin to see, you know, some really extensive potential. And I can list some, you know, some simple ideas of this. So there's a growing genre of games that are called city builder games. The biggest one right now is one that's called Cities Skylines.
Okay.
So essentially what this is, the in these games you are designing a city. So you're in charge of building the infrastructure, all of the roads, the buildings, zoning, managing the resources and things like that, right? And you know, these city builder games go beyond mere entertainment. They offer like complex simulations of urban planning and management, which requires players to consider like a huge range of factors like you know, infrastructure, resource allocation, citizen satisfaction, and so forth. And interestingly, you know, real world city planners have used games like Cities Skylines to plan new urban regions. I mean, there's a popular story about this happening in Sweden, you know, where city planners used Cities Skylines to plan a new city district. So, you know, stuff like that starts to begin to expand the view of what gaming is. And so this is like an idea on one end of the spectrum. But if you look at the other end of the spectrum, there are games called like scientific discovery games, like SDGs. A really popular one in that end is one called Folded, which is a game about protein folding. It was a game developed by researchers from MIT. And what it is you're playing around with folding proteins, which apparently is a really complex thing. And so the scientists crowdsourced this to get gamers to figure out these complex scientific problems. And through all of the things that have been learned through the game, the researchers have been able to glean some big insights out of it. And many research papers have come out of it.
Oh, okay.
So these are two pretty wide examples of games that don't fall under the conventional umbrella of what most people would view as gaming. Because, I mean, if I say gaming, most people are thinking Call of Duty or FIFA.
Certainly. I'm one of those that are thinking of FIFA. And I used to play Mario as well and several others as well. So it's interesting that it's that deep, as you're putting it, with research papers coming out of just to the gaming space and all that. And so my question then would be the narrow view that people have, and you touched on it as you started there, the narrow view that people have of gaming, do you think that's coincidental? Or is it a case of maybe ignorance, or what do you think is, because I'm sitting and I'm thinking, I mean, I'm as old as I am today, but I've never thought of gaming as something that could contribute towards, you know, solving the world's problem. In fact, I got to a certain age where I was like, oh man, I must leave these things. You know, I can't be doing gaming at this age, you know? So that narrow view that we have, do you think it's coincidental? It's incidental. It's by design, or maybe we are missing something. Those of us who are not seeing the bigger picture here.
I think in many cases, gaming is seen as a thing for kids, right? After a certain age, adults stop exploring this thing called gaming. And so, as a result, most adults aren't very well informed about the true expanse of gaming because their experience with gaming was mostly done as children. But it's interesting that a lot of the meaningful and like high social impact aspects of gaming happen through genres that are not meant for kids, you know, genres that are built for senior audiences. So I would think maybe the reason why most people don't know is out of that perception that most people think, gaming is for kids. If you talk to any adult and you're like, okay, you want to buy a console or a gaming PC, they think they would be thinking of that, you know, in line of gaming for their kids and not necessarily for their own exploration.
Yeah, sure. Maybe then we need to think a little bit more. Now, let's go back then to video games. Do they provide any sort of simulation for world problems, maybe? And if so, where can one go to look at that? Because there's Russia-Ukraine problems right now and global inflation and all those sort of stuff. Can video games provide those type of simulation for world problems?
Yeah, 100%. There are many simulation games that are quite well known. In fact, before I get into it, there's an interesting story from I think it's 2020, where a gamer, this was an avid gamer who used to play like F1 simulation games. He actually beat a former Formula One player in actual racing. So like this was one popular instance where skills learned from gaming were actually applicable in real world games because this was a simulation game. So all of the skills around, you know, knowledge of the gaming tracks, knowledge around you know, quick reflexes and things like that were directly applicable, right? And like proving that it's not just play, but there are some real skills to be gained that have some real world application. More to your question though, when you're talking about simulating real world events, I've already spoken about City Skylines, which is a city simulator. And you know, the game is so expansive that in some cases you can even simulate like natural disasters, flooding, tsunamis, things like that, and figure out how the city would deal with that. You know, how do you shift resources around? How do you manage emergency services and things like that to ensure that you do that? And I mean, there's also games like Civilization. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. Civilization is about growing, you know, nations. And this kind of needs you to figure out things like trade and resource management because you're the leader of a nation and you're interacting with other nations. It comes to making decisions about war, for example, that you're talking about. What goes into decisions like that and what are the trade-offs, you know, when you get into situations like that. And so there are lots of, there's a massive genre of simulation games where they are built to be as close as possible to the real world scenario so that players get the opportunity to make the decisions that a decision maker in that actual scenario would have to deal with. And I mean, because of that, it's sort of a test ground for decision, a low consequence test ground for decisions that can potentially be applicable in the real world.
And how big are these? Because I'm thinking to myself, especially now that you've touched on implications, for instance, that one through taking these games can see that if I play an ace card, in world global war or world global trade, this is what it could potentially do. I mean, we could take this game and give it to some of our leaders, Vladimir and all the others, to say these are the implications. How big are these simulation games in the world?
I mean, a lot of them are quite niche, unfortunately. You know, they have a niche following, a corner of people there. There are few that have managed to find use with professionals. You know, examples like Microsoft Flight Simulator is used by real world pilots for some of their training, right? Because it has a lot of real world simulation, things like I've mentioned it a lot, City Skylines. But like I said, the unfortunate thing is they're still the domain of like enthusiasts, and they've not really infiltrated the, you know, the greater part of society. So I think for anyone to know and really dive into this, you really need to have interest in it. Oh, then again, I guess programs like this that sort of break the stereotype of what gaming is and what gaming is about are part of the first steps to kind of, to broadening the audience for video games.
Certainly. I must tell you myself, when I realized we were going to be talking about this, I was quite, you know, blown away to say, okay, I really didn't see video games as such. Now then, I want to get a sense then of, can these video games, you know, create some sort of direct connection between just gaming and then social awareness in the different communities that we are in, I suppose on the basis of the different social challenges that we are facing as well?
Yeah, for sure. One growing aspect of gaming now is esports, right? Okay. Through esports, gaming is now a legitimate career choice, right? Because esports professionals are actual athletes now.
Yeah.
So in that sense, you know, being an esports, getting involved in esports comes with all of the benefits of any other sport, in that you get social cohesion, you get learning about other cultures as you interact with gamers from all over the world, and things like that. So there's that sort of social impact from the interaction of different people, right? And the rest of the benefit that come from sports. And again, it's also offering the perspective that if you now, as which I guess is still a difficult thing for parents to accept, right? But if your child is interested enough in gaming today, then, you know, esports is now a legitimate career choice that you can encourage them towards, and something that they can actually make a living with. And through that, get to, you know, interact with people from all over the world, participate in international competitions, international festivals and conferences that host these esports events. And again, beyond that, what this then means is that because gaming is such a growing field, it then comes with everything else to support this gaming. If we're going to have complex games, then it means there's a greater demand for game developers, right? If we're going to have complex games, it means everyone who's involved in organizing esports events, right, gets a new job opportunities. If we're going to be doing this, it means, so, you know, it doesn't come alone, but it comes with a whole slew of other opportunities that come along with it.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. I think it then frames my next question quite beautifully, because I'm thinking then that one can pinpoint here and there, you know, and maybe, like you're saying, parents could even look at, you know, encouraging their kids to actually get into this as a career and make a living out of it. But maybe where do we start in terms of real problems that we can say poverty? There's a game for that that can help us understand and solve that problem, either through simulation or whatever. Unemployment, there's a game for that. Is there such a thing that currently exists like that?
I mean, not specifically that. Nothing specifically comes to my mind that is specifically targeted at that. But I guess one reason for it is that most there isn't a lot of game development that is happening in Africa.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of game development that is happening elsewhere in the West. And so if those people are going to make games to tackle their own social their social problems, it'll be targeted at their own problems and not so much others or those of us in Africa. And so we only get incidental benefits if ever we do, but that also poses the question then, should we not as Africans get into this and start building up our own games industry that can develop these kinds of social simulations and like real world scenario games that are aimed at targeting our own problems as Africa and figuring that out. I know one country that is kind of spearheading that in Africa is Kenya. Kenya has a really vibrant game industry that's growing.
That's really interesting. As a lay person now myself in this gaming thing and all that, you mentioned then there isn't any specific one, but maybe I'm thinking there are some that are broadly, video games that are currently solving some sort of problems, and maybe that's where I'm framing my mind at right now.
Okay.
And then thinking about the incidental benefits that you spoke about, because then for me there's two things there: the broad problems that gaming is solving, and then the benefits, whether incidental or not. I suppose incidental in South Africa, because in Africa, in fact, because like you said, we are almost behind the world when the rest of the world is building quite a big gaming industry that maybe simulations and all this sort of stuff are gaining some sort of traction. What are those incidental benefits, maybe, I suppose, aligned to those broad problems that gaming is trying to solve without necessarily being specific on the problems that it's solving?
Okay, I think if we were to think about it, let's think about it from the perspective of it. Let me list it this way: so interactive learning, creativity, community. Let me expand on those.
Yeah.
Right. So almost all games are built with a framework for learning, right?
Okay.
Some of them teach you to learn under high pressure situations and make decisions under high pressure situations, right? And it's not a passive kind of learning where you're just watching something going on, but it's a participatory kind of learning where you are your decisions and your action have agency in what's going on. And so that is a benefit that you see all across all games, and that is available to anyone. Creativity, in the sense that games allow for or encourage creative problem solving.
Oh, I see.
Because, one thing that you get used to as a gamer is, being able, is the idea of facing a problem and trying that problem over and over and over again until you find the best solution for it.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot, which is something that not only helps you to develop some creative problem-solving skills, but also some persistence and patience in your problem-solving.
Mm.
Because some things are not going to be solved easily and are not going to be solved fast. You figure out that maybe I need to move from step one to step two and learn about step two before I can move to step three. And that in itself, helps to build up some problem solving skills. Not just in that particular dimension, but skills that can be applicable even outside of gaming, right? I've already mentioned community. These days, there's lots of what are called MMOs, right? Massive multiplayer games. So where you are cooperating, you get online, you start a game, you are paired up with people across the world, and you've just been paired up with these strangers, and you have to complete this mission together. So you go through the planning together, you figure out, okay, what is the problem? How do we solve it? What are each of us' unique skills? And how do we use our unique skills to tackle this problem? And so it's like a way of fostering creative problem solving, community, communication, and things like that. And that's something that's cross-cutting across all gaming genres.
I love the problem-solving bit because I suppose one of the most much needed skills in the world, over and above qualifications and all that and going to school, is the ability to problem solve. Because we sit in boardrooms and offices with people who are highly educated but can't problem solve at the end of the day. So it's a soft skill that I think is really important. And if gaming can really help us with such things, I think that's really fantastic. And maybe I might just be going back to the gaming thing after this. But we'll see how that one goes. Now, is there a way for African youth, particularly also, to tap into this area, or is it still a far-fetched reality for Africans?
I think there is potential. This is where we need to expand our perspective again. Because when most people think about games again, people will think of AAA games, right? Where these games that require really complicated hardware, really expensive hardware, or gaming consoles, right? Yeah, sure, those games are there. But there's still a massive, massive library of other games that are equally as valuable that don't require, very complex computers and very expensive gear. And I'm bringing this up because a challenge that exists in Africa in a lot of cases is that some communities cannot afford these expensive AAA games. But apart from that, we can tap into these massive other games that are not so expensive and that don't require very expensive hardware. There's also a growing field of what is called indie gaming, where budding game developers who are not big studios, but just individuals learning game development, build their own small games and are able to list them on gaming platforms for people to play and try out and stuff like that. And I think indie game development is a yet another legitimate way for people to get into game development without the high pressure of big games. So I think through those avenues, Africa has the opportunity to also participate, regardless of the level at which we are starting.
That's really interesting. I think that's quite heartwarming to know that, Africa can also come into that one. Now, as we draw to a close, I'm thinking here, and maybe some of my listeners might also be thinking, is there a risk, when it comes to excessive gaming? Is there even such a thing as excessive gaming? And what are the risks associated with that? Might this, I suppose, excessive gaming distort one's perspective of the real world? Or as some would say it, and as we mentioned when we started the show, some people view gaming as this antisocial, thing that fosters such behaviors in young people. And so for them, gaming is not a thing. I mean, the fact that we're even discussing it here on a Christian radio show is in itself might be viewed as, well, where are we going? What are the risks, especially if there is such a thing called excessive gaming?
I think there definitely is exists something like excessive gaming, and like all things, moderation has to be practiced, and there has to be a balance in how it's done, right? Regardless of what you're doing, if you do it too much, it's not good for you, right? And so there's a need for you to balance it and balance it with the rest of life that you need to learn. But I think gone are the days where, you know, gaming is an isolation thing where I just lock myself in my room and not talk to anyone and not interact with anyone. So, I mean, my advice would be, if you're a parent to a child who's a gamer, or if you're a gamer yourself, let me first address, if you're a parent to a child who's really interested in gaming, instead of just putting guardrails without understanding anything about it at all, take an interest in the gaming that your child is interested in. You know, learn about it, learn about the alternatives, figure out, you know, what are they doing when they're gaming? Because there are games out there that I believe are a negative influence, right? That might promote violence or promote all sorts of bad things. So, but at the same time, there are lots of games that are good. But you won't know that as a parent if you don't take an active interest in what your child is doing. And so it's really important to take an active interest and, you know, come along for the journey. You might find that the game might be an avenue for you to even get closer to your child when you also enjoy it. And it's a shared thing that you do together.
Where do parents start?
In terms of
maybe even taking an active interest that you're talking about, whether it's through their children, do they start with playing with their children so that they can know what games their children are playing maybe and learn from there and also get themselves, I suppose, acquainted with the gaming world and what's happening in the gaming world as well?
Yeah, I think... Start by playing with them. If the child is interested in something and they're doing something, one thing I can tell you is that even I've asked many people to play a game with me, right? And even the most averse people, people who did not want it at all,
yeah,
if they actually give it a chance, you know, after a while they are engaged, they are really enjoying it,
yeah,
and they would report that I actually got into that and I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So because gaming itself is made to be engaging and fun.
Yeah.
And if you just want to look at it from afar, you might never get the opportunity to feel that and experience it for yourself.
Yeah.
But if you give yourself the chance and interact with it, then you'll find that there's actually something for you to learn.
Yeah.
And I mean, beyond that, if you're somebody who is into sports and following what's happening in the field of sports, then maybe add esports to your repertoire, right? Because, like I said, it's a growing sport as well. There are, you know, top athletes in there. There are tournaments going on around the world and things like that.
Yeah.
So if that's something that interests you, that's another avenue that you can follow and, you know, follow along with your child.
Indeed. Thank you so much. Any final thoughts as we draw to an end? I think you've given us some really great things to think about. Maybe one might just, like I said, be going back to gaming after this. And hopefully, yeah, one can learn a lot from there. Any thoughts as we close?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, like we said at the start, it's important to expand our perspective when we are looking at gaming and understand that, sure, there was a time when the field of gaming was a very, you know, limited to a small number of things. But now it cuts across so much. You know, I mentioned right now about how it's contributing to scientific research, it's contributing, it's helping city planners do their work, you know. So like professionals are using games to perform their work. You know, if you look at games like the Nintendo Wii games or virtual reality, which encourages exercise and movement during gaming, right? It's so expensive. And so my encouragement to anyone is take some time to explore gaming before you cancel it out, right? And I promise you there's something for everyone. And whatever it is that you like, you are going to find a game that fits into that. And not just a game that is going to be idle entertainment, but a game that will offer some real skills and, help you with some interactive education. And I mean, at the end of the day, I would say gaming is a much better way of taking on some screen times and scrolling on social media that most of us do. Because scrolling on social media is a very passive thing, whereas gaming engages you and encourages you to think and
Sure.
solve some real problems.
Thank you so much, Began. We really appreciate your time joining us all the way from London. We really appreciate your time. And may you have a beautiful evening. I do think that we're going to explore this quite a little bit more. I'd like to give you feedback myself one of these days. I'm like, yeah, I played this game and this is what I learned from it and all that. But it's been such an interesting topic and we really appreciate your time. Have a good evening. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good
That was
evening.
Ubhekani Khumalo joining us all the way from London.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.